After about half an hour, the music stopped abruptly, and Leo's feet appeared on the stairs in precisely tied and polished leather shoes, a swatch of pale undressed ankle flashing beneath his pant legs, which were several inches too short. Bit by bit, he came entirely into view. A tall man, once thickly built and muscular, flesh now hanging loosely from his bony frame.
"Oh, good," he said, nodding at the laundry. "We've been needing a maid."
"Breakfast?" she asked.
"I'll get it myself."
"Go right ahead, then."
"I'll have you fired by lunchtime," he called from the kitchen.
"You go right ahead," she said again. There was a cascade of falling pots, the old man swearing. Caroline imagined him stooped over to push the tangle of cookware back into the cupboard. She ought to go help him. But no, let him cope by himself. In her first week, she'd been afraid to talk back, afraid not to jump whenever Leonard March called, until Doro had taken her aside. "Look, you're not a servant. You answer to me. You don't have to be at his beck and call. You're doing fine, and you live here, too," she had said. And Caroline had understood that her period of probation was over. Leo came in, carrying a plateful of eggs and a glass of orange juice.
"Don't worry," he said before she could speak. "I turned off the damn stove, and now I'm taking my breakfast upstairs to eat it in peace."
"Watch your language," Caroline said. He grunted his answer and thumped up the stairs. She paused in her work, suddenly near tears, watching a cardinal land in the lilac bush outside the window, then fly away. What was she doing here? What yearning had driven her to this radical decision, this place of no return, and what, finally, would become of her? After a few minutes, the trumpet started again upstairs, and the doorbell rang twice. Caroline lifted Phoebe from the playpen. "Here they are," she said, drying her eyes with her wrist. "Time to practice." Sandra was standing on the porch, and when Caroline opened the door, she burst in, holding Tim by one hand and hauling a big cloth bag in the other. She was tall, large-boned, blonde, and forceful. She sat down without ceremony in the middle of the rug, dumping the stacking toys in a pile.
"Sorry I'm so late," she said. "The traffic's awful out there. Doesn't it drive you crazy living this close to the crosstown? It would drive me nuts. Anyway, check out what I found. Look at these great stacking toys. Plastic, different colors. Tim loves them."
Caroline sat down on the floor, too. Like Doro, Sandra was an unlikely friend, someone Caroline would never have known in her old life. They'd met in the library one bleak January day when Caroline, overwhelmed by experts and grim statistics, had slammed a book shut in despair. Sandra, two tables over amid her own stack of books, the spines and covers terribly familiar to Caroline, looked up.
"Oh, I know just how you feel. I'm so angry I could break a window."